We're going to go into a traditional hymn, but feel free to continue singing from your seat.
Thank you. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stay. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand. You don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning, troubles they don't last always.
So here's our first gathering together as a worshiping community here in 2018, and this is my first message in 2018. Woo! And there's much exciting promise here at Harmony Toluca Lake for all of us, and as we live into and what our divine source has called us to be and to do. Honestly, I'm thrilled about everything that's coming our way here at this church community, for this church community, and some of which you heard from our outreach coordinator, Jen Hengst. But there's also other things. Something just cropped up this morning, which I'm very excited about as well, and we'll be sharing more about that later. But I am energized and inspired for us to experience what's next. What is next? Now, whether you're young or old, we must always dream the dream. Dream the dream. Yet we also have to be courageous in how we live into that dream. And we got to be willing to take risks for there to be success in our lives. And when everything is said and done, after we've taken those risks, you got to let go. We have to let go, and we have to let God. And I want you to notice the plural use that I'm using. What did I say? We, capital W-E. Now, those can be turned into personal pronouns of you and me, but it is the we. We drive to be fully successful in being difference makers here for the glory of God. And who's the front seat driver of the we? God, that's right. God is. So let us remember that we can have all the best laid strategic plans that we want in our life. We've got it all set up. All right, here we go, right? But all those plans can go up in smoke. They can change just like that, lickety-split second. And that's where, in life circumstances, that's what happens. But we have to be willing and able to breathe it out. Just breathe it out. Let it go. And make those necessary adjustments as called by our Creator who is good and has all good in mind. For God has our backs at all times. Do you believe it? Yes. All right. So this morning, we're going to have a scripture reading, and this comes from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's from the New Revised Standard Version, and the entire passage is going to be up on the flat screens, and I'm going to ask our participants to come forward so that they see this, and it's going to add a little bit of tad bit of dramatic flair here. So again, our scripture focus will be from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking,
"Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage."
When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired to them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him,
"In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet."
"And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd my people Israel."
Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying,
"Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage."
When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. So this week, as I was reflecting on this verses, it was again a reaffirmation that, you know, I still have a lot to learn about the Bible. It just doesn't stop. And it's also a reminder that this is not just black and white words on a page. Now, if we took that approach, then here's the way that I think Matthew 2, 1 through 12 would go. Okay, so you got three wise men. They're from the east. They make their way to Jerusalem. They meet Herod. Herod says, hey, you know, he gets his guys together. Then they're heading off to Bethlehem. Then they go to Bethlehem, and they give three gifts over to the baby Jesus. And then, oops, I had a dream. They had a dream, and they got to go, and they're going to go in a different route. And scene. That's black and white words on the page, right? That's it in a nutshell. But that simplistic approach to the Bible, that reveals naive understanding. And so what we are called to do, all of us, the we, is to dig. We must research. We have got to apply the scripture into our lives. We need to live alongside that, let it breathe within us. And so that's how we grow. So today, let's dig into this scripture. Let's start off with the three wise men. Now, from these three wise men from the east, now, it's against popular sentiment, they weren't astrologers, followers of horoscopes. They weren't bumbling, stumbling foreigners who happened to just, oops, there's baby Jesus. out of sheer luck. These were three magi, M-A-G-I, but they were not magicians. These actually, they came from most likely Persia. That's what we would say is modern-day Iran. Now, given that they were probably from within the Zoroastrian religion, that meant back in their home, they were respected court advisors and sages, but they were also considered to be scientists of a sort. And most important, these three wise men, against belief, were devout believers in God. So, they had studied these wise men, not just three, but this whole group. They had studied, they had researched, they had prepared for this momentous occasion for the Messiah to come. They had been waiting in anticipation. And then a special star shone in the sky. And that's when they put themselves and their camels into motion, and they were carrying these wonderful, expensive gifts. And I want you to know that this journey, that had risk that was in it. There was risk on their parts on taking this journey because it wasn't a short distance that they traveled. It was 1,200 plus miles that they journeyed from Persia to Judea, and that was at least 60 days travel. That's a lot that can happen in between. And they came bearing gifts. And also there's risk. There's risk in this, not to forget this. Would they actually be right in going and following what they believed to be true, this promise of salvation? Because that would be a long trip for nothing. So these three wise men, they went out on faith. And I'd say a solid nudge from God, but I want to emphasize again, this was a trip of at least 60 days, at the very least, which means the Magi didn't arrive immediately after Christ's birth. That might go, right? That's a little odd. They weren't there. We always see, oh, they're right there by the manger, right? Oh, there's baby Jesus. No, didn't happen. Not immediately. It's no less than 6 weeks. And I'd say actually a little bit longer, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to now shift to King Herod. Oh, man, this was not a man. This was not a man that would frighten easily. No, not a bit. He was the one causing the frights. Herod was known for his deep paranoia and his extreme actions. You threatened his throne, and this was a guy that didn't take that lightly. You found yourself on the outs, and in actuality, you would most likely be meeting your maker. And I'm not joking about that. Three of his sons were executed just because Herod thought they were attempting to take his throne. His own sons. So here it is. It's in the scripture passage. We see that what then frightened he who frightens others? That which is shared by the Magi, interestingly. And there's where the scripture tells us, if Herod was alarmed, then everyone was on high alert. And I imagine that those gaggle of experts, they were scurrying. They were right there, trying to make it right with him. And so they were right there for the beck and call. And that's when the reveal of the importance of Bethlehem came into play. Think about that. The Magi didn't go to Bethlehem directly, did they? No, they came to Jerusalem. That's where they thought, oh, well, surely the child is going to be born in the temple. Surely he's going to be overseen and cared for by the finest of the fine. It would be in Jerusalem. Now, with this information and intel, sneaky Herod decides to play them. And he finds out the exact time as to when the star had appeared, and then he sends the Magi on to Bethlehem with these words of seeming assurance. Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may also go and pay him homage. No, this Herod was not going to pay the baby Jesus any kind of homage. Was not going to happen. The monarch would never stoop so low, not to a child that was going to be from a peasant family, because what good is going to come from Bethlehem? Now, the Magi They arrive in Bethlehem, and you know they've got to be a bit befuddled by this shift, because the child for whom they have come bearing gifts, well, has been born in a manger and is being raised in an economically limited, modest surrounding and in the arms of a teenage mother. And here is where the fourth gift is given. Now, you might be asking, now, wait a minute, Mark said a fourth gift. There's no fourth gift in this story. But there is. There is. I want you to listen to this again. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Did you catch it this time? The fourth gift was actually their first gift, the gift of themselves. They knelt down and paid him homage. Homage, worship first, material gifts second. The Magi were giving themselves completely over to Christ. Something else I want to point out in this section, it's very important, what I'll call the insiders and the outsiders, the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew's gospel was a gospel that was written to appeal with focus for those who were Jewish, and I find it interesting that it isn't the religious faction from Judea, those to be considered God's people, who were the first to recognize who Jesus was as the Messiah. It was three outsiders. Foreigners, those believed to be unrighteous, those to be unclean, these Magi, these Gentiles, those thought to not have one iota of religious sensibility. And this reveal may go unnoticed at a cursory glance, for we are informed at the early stage of Jesus' life that it's not just God's people who's going to be part of what was told to Mary and Joseph, for it is the Magi, the least of these. This Jesus is the one who's going to save his people from their sins, and his people includes everyone, insiders and outsiders, righteous and unrighteous, all of us. And it comes to mind what Jesus said. I was reflecting on that. Suddenly it hit me. Never had hit me before. This verse that Jesus had said much later, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. For it is the Magi, considered to be the least of these, who arrive first. God intentionally chose them to share in the joy of Christ's birth. And that's amazing. Look how that God works mysteriously in our lives. And that's why this particular Sunday is known as Epiphany. It is the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, a moment that has provided and instills new spiritual insight, vision, and perspective. By the way, I want to tell you an aside, that once the Magi returned to their homeland in a different way, Herod was none too happy about this, because they didn't come back and tell him the exact location in Bethlehem where the baby Jesus had been born, but that does not stop Herod's wrath. For the Magi had shared, if we remember in the story, they had shared about that shining star at the time at when it had arisen, right? So now he has an age range to work with. So the man goes and orders killings of the children in and around Bethlehem who are 2 years old and younger. The man was extreme. And I bring this to you, this kill order, to your attention for two reasons. One, it again shows us the timing as to when the Magi had originally arrived, because that's that hunch that tells us they didn't arrive exactly at Christ's birth, but they arrived much later. And two, the material gifts that were given to Christ. It was not happenstance that these gifts were provided, because I want you to look at God's work through the least of these. For it was the gold that was soon put to use. That gift helped save the lives of the Holy Family on their soon-to-be flight to Egypt, thereby avoiding Herod's horrid hit call on baby Jesus. Interesting how they immediately put that gift and how God works through us. I want to close this message with what I had brought up for us today in our question of the day about directions as it relates to this scripture story. The Magi had to ask for directions. I'm sure that may have gone against all male instinct, but they still asked. Good for them. And it serves as a reminder to all of us. Now, sometimes we think, hey, the path I'm on, it's correct, but it isn't. And then we seek guidance rather than relying on ourselves, and that's a good course of action to take in our lives. Yet sometimes the persons that are helping us, well, they may not actually have our best interests at hand. And so that's why we always have to be prayerful, very prayerful about all things. We got to be on our toes with having God there with us because God has our back. And when mistakes are going to be made along that journey, and they're going to be made, that's where we need to be open to learning and apply what we have learned. We learn that it's important to be open to whatever visions and insights come from God. We're sometimes told or we're nudged or we feel to go in a different direction, to risk, to go in a different way. One that may not even make logical sense, but it makes spiritual sense. And to get on that path in which we follow Jesus and not the values of this world. We must follow the God of spiritual power and not the deceiver of vengeance and hate. Let us follow the one who's merciful and compassionate. Let us know that the divine creator of all that is good has got our back. And now as we live into 2018, let us courageously travel on that road that is less traveled, in which we openly welcome change and transformation. Let's journey on the road that leads to love, justice, and peace for all of God's children. And let us embrace the spiritual reality that no matter how expensive or expansive the material gifts are that we give, what Christ most wants from us is ourselves. Amen.